A journey into a world that is just beyond our comprehension. The world of the paranormal.
Welcome everybody to episode number 19 of the 13 Skulls podcast. I hope you're all doing good. In this episode, we're going to take a look at a man who says he traveled through time through his kitchen sink, a flying saucer over Turkey, a working life-size replica of Noah's Ark, some listener EVPs, a few listener emails, and a bunch more than that coming up in this 19th episode of the 13 Skulls podcast. All right, well, everybody, thanks for joining me. I hope you're doing good. In today's episode, we've just got a lot of stuff to cover, so let's go ahead and get the formality stuff out of the way. If you want to send the show an email, send me an email, tell me anything, criticisms, feedback, your own stories, anything like that, shoot me an email. It's the13skulls@gmail.com. And that's THE13SKULLS@gmail.com. If you want to give me a phone call, the phone numbers are 206-338-2205, or locally here in the DFW area, which anyone can actually call, but it's just a local number here for the DFW area, is 817-986-0019. If you want, give the show a vote on Podcast Alley. I'd really appreciate that. There's a link to it on the left sidebar of the 13skulls.com. If you want to, I'd really appreciate it if you go and sign the Frapper map. I love to know where people are listening from. It's just it's a great thing to see the diversity of people that are out there and where they're coming from and listening to the show. So anyway, that's pretty much it. If you want, there's a great forum. We've started to really pick up speed at the Ning site, the 13skullspodcast.ning.com. There's a lot of interesting stories stories up there. Thanks to Furcho for doing all the hard work, man. I really do appreciate you putting all those articles and stories and things like that out there. I really do appreciate all your hard work, man. It doesn't go unnoticed, if I can talk. Anyway, I'll go ahead and shut up. Well, one last thing before we get going here into all this stuff. I got an email from Lily Mama the other day, and she was saying that she had a little bit of trouble with the feed and that it was cutting off at the number 4 paranormal news. And that's a while back. So if anybody else out there is having an issue with the feed through iTunes, let me know. I personally, when I go check the feed, everything looks great. So I don't know. Lily Mama Darling, I wish I could tell you something that would help you out there, but I really don't know because it seems as if the feed is doing good. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and recheck that again and I'll let you guys know. But if anybody else is having problems with that, just shoot me an email, give me a call, something like that. And let me know. All right, well, the first thing that I wanted to talk about today is courtesy of FoxNews.com. And this article has been around, for a good week now. And obviously, somebody wanted that Bigfoot body, I guess I really shouldn't use the word body, the Bigfoot costume. And the article says that someone's just paid a lot of money for a smelly rubber Bigfoot costume, and somebody paid $250,203 by the end of the auction, which closed on Friday Eastern Daylight Time at 12:30 a.m. So I'm guessing it's a week back from the 20th. So, do the math on that. Look at a calendar. I haven't looked at one. But anyway, it says, as reported here on Monday, it's not just any Bigfoot costume. It's the one that Clayton County, Georgia hoaxers Rick Dyer and Matt Witten filled with animal parts and froze over the summer in an effort to convince the world that they had actually had a dead Sasquatch. Anyway, it says the winning bidder put up the $250,000. Says, my arrangement is with the people who control the body. Warren told FoxNews.com, money from this auction is going to hopefully resolve the legal conflicts. Warren, which I believe is Joshua P. Warren from the Speaking of Strange podcast, which actually it is, there's a quote from here, says, neither of the team are going to make a penny off this auction, explains Joshua P. Warren of Asheville, North Carolina, the paranormal entrepreneur who put up the body for sale on eBay. There's quite a bit more to this article, and one last thing, you guys, I'm going to try to keep the show around an hour. So if it seems like I'm really pushing through these really, really fast, I'm sorry. But there's a lot more article there for you to go read. So it gives you incentive to go and check out the links on the13skulls.com and go read the rest of the article for yourself. You know, don't want to give too much away. I know you guys want to hear all this stuff, but I don't want to give too much of it away. So if you get a chance, go and check it out. And basically, they finally sold this costume, which I really have my issues with. I don't really think that it's... I mean, if the money doesn't go to the people who did the hoax, and I guess in a way I'm kind of okay with it. If they use the money to give back to the people who got scammed out of this, then that's great. But I don't know. I have my issues with it. You guys go check it out. If anybody's got any opinions on it, let me know.
Eerie Radio, opening the door to the unknown. Download episodes of Eerie Radio directly from iTunes or visit their website at www.eerieradio.com.
All right, well, this next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of hosted.ap.org. And it's not paranormal unless you consider maybe having an extra large stomach paranormal. I don't even know how you could eat something like this, but it's a Pennsylvania man chooses his way through a belly-busting 15-pound burger. It says Clearfield, Pennsylvania is where this took place, I guess. It said it took Brad Sciullo, I'm not sure how you would say his last name, 4 hours and 39 minutes to finish a marathon. The 5'11", 180-pound Western Pennsylvania chef is the first person to eat a monstrosity called the Beer Barrel Belly Bruiser, a 15-pound burger with toppings in a bun that brought the total weight to 20.2 pounds. The mountain of beef is the product of Denny's Beer Barrel Pub, about 100 miles northeast of Pittsburgh in Clearfield. The guy who ate it's only 21. He's of Uniontown and said he was surprised he finished the sandwich on Monday. About 3 hours into it, things got tough. When asked what possessed him to eat the burger that big, he said, "I wanted to see if I could," which is the way a lot of people do things. They just do things to see if they can. The burger included a bun, lettuce, tomatoes, cheese, onions, mild banana peppers, and a cup of mayonnaise, ketchup, mustard, and relish. For completing the challenge in under 5 hours, under the 5 hour limit, he won $400, three t-shirts, a certificate, and a burger hangover. At least that's what they call it. Anyway, I thought it was interesting. There's a picture there. I'll post a link up to it so you guys can go and actually see a picture of this monstrosity of a burger. All right, well, the next article is courtesy of abclocal.go.com. And North Suburban couple gets a $9.5 million parking ticket. Again, not paranormal, I just thought it was funny that you could get a ticket for that big, that it would make it through all the red tape, all the people that would need to sign off on this ticket, how could you get a ticket, a fine, for that much? Anyway, the article says a parking ticket can ruin anybody's day, but imagine one attached with a bill for more than $9.5 million. And so they said that that's recently what happened to a couple when it came in the mail. Barbara and Lee Mitchell of Glencoe received a notice from the Village, which I'm not sure where the Village would be. It doesn't really give you anything there. Anyway, it says dated on September 30th, and it detailed their offense, parking longer than allowed in the 300 block of Tudor Court in late August. And the fine for such an offense, $9,501,071. The notice said the Mitchells were entitled to a hearing on the matter. However, it was also warned that if it remained unpaid after a guilty determination, the vehicle could be immobilized or a driver's license suspended. I guess that's not too bad of a fine for not paying a $9 million ticket. It says, sure enough, Glencoe police had, they've pulled the ticket since then, so the couple doesn't have to pay it. But it was indeed a warning-only citation. But Deputy Chief Mike Voling said he's at a loss to explain why it went out with the listed dollar amount. Somebody obviously messed up when it was entered into the computer. How do you enter in incorrectly a $9 million? Most parking ticket fines aren't that much. So, really, how do you put that amount in and not recognize it? Anyway, it says the Mitchells have one explanation. They say the dollar amount of the ticket coincides with the vehicle's license plate. Well, I guess maybe that's the case, but come on, if that's the person that's filling out these tickets, they need to hire somebody else. It says it was a big dollar amount, but Lee Mitchell didn't appear worried. I guess it's only one way to increase revenues, he joked. It's not going to work exactly with me, but it might work with somebody else. Still, whatever, if it's mixed with a license plate number, doesn't matter to me. I just think it's pathetic that somebody could actually make a mistake like that and it go out in the mail. All right, well, the next article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. I don't know how true the stories are that come from this site, but it's one of my favorite sites. They always have such interesting stories. This article is a cylindrical-shaped UFO photographed over Trentino in Italy, and it is an interesting picture. It kind of makes you wonder, what you're looking at, and it shows two pictures. One is an enhanced picture of a close-up of the object, and one is a full picture with kind of a picture-in-picture close-up view with an arrow pointing at what the object is, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, but the one strange, it's kind of a cigar-shaped UFO, and it kind of looks just like a cigar, but the one weird part about it is that it's almost transparent. It looks like you can see through it. Now, is that because of the velocity that's going that you can see through it? Is it because it's a defect or an artifact on the lens or the film? I don't know, but it's interesting. And the article says, according to a witness statement, a mysterious object has been photographed over Wake's Chemistries. The UFO was sighted from Dell USAC. The photograph was sent by Sebastiano de Gennaro of the Center Ufologico USAC. The email stated that the unknown cylindrical object was photographed on October 8th of 2008 at Ciampetti di Val d'Avassa. I completely butchered that, but anyway, it's in the Trentino, which I apologize to any Italians out there if I just completely butchered that. Sorry. The photographer was attempting to take a photograph of the sun. There were chemtrails from various aircraft at the time, which you can actually see in the picture. The photographer did not see the cylindrical object at the time he took the photograph, and it was discovered later when reviewing all of his pictures. Several different filters were applied to the original photograph, and there is no doubt that the cylindrical UFO was a solid object. Well, the strange part is that it looks like it's either transparent or behind the clouds and the chemtrail, because the way the picture is set up is that if you look at the close-up picture, or actually if you look at the far-away picture, you just see clouds and chemtrails with the corner of a building in the bottom right corner and this object up towards the top in the middle, but a little towards the left. And in the close-up picture, you see the object and you see a chemtrail, you see a cloud, and you can see the you see these things in the larger picture too. But the close-up picture, it looks like it's either behind the clouds and the chemtrail, or it's actually in front of them and it's transparent. I don't know. You guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think, because I'm this is just an interesting object. I don't really know what it is, but it's interesting to say the least. So you guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, well, the next article that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of thesun.co.uk. It's an interesting picture, but one that I would suspect to be fairly easily photoshopped. I don't really know how to explain it, so I'm just going to read the article and then I'll try to explain it. It says, it's just what you expected to see in a snap from an aquarium, a shark with blue water and a disembodied human head. Emma Place, who's 21, took the eerie photo on her phone at Hull's attraction, The Deep. Boffins at the aquarium, which I'm still not positive what boffins means. So if there's any English people out there, anybody like that, anyone from the UK, let me know what a boffin is, because I'm not exactly positive. It says, anyway, the boffins at the aquarium admit that they are baffled by the appearance of the man's face, which appears to be gulping up at the shark. Dentistry student Emma of Doncaster only spotted the ghoulish face when she arrived home. She said that her boyfriend asked her what it was, and she said that it's a shark, and he said, no, the face. It's interesting. I don't really know what to make of it. They said that the aquarium on the banks of the Humber Estuary was built on the site of an isolation hospital where smallpox victims were held. And it's not the first time that the ghostly happenings have been going on. It says that a night watchman claims to have spotted a shadow figure on the timeline which charts the history of the world's oceans. Colin Brown, which just is strange because that's my nephew's name, chief executive of the Deep, said, we are a scientific center and we're sure there must be a logical explanation. It's just that we can't find it. Says there must be some sort of optical illusion, a reflection of images between the window, but we cannot figure how it was done. Now, if this was taken with a cell phone camera, which it kind of does, it kind of looks a little grainy. And basically the face that's there does look like maybe that of an older gentleman, maybe in his 50s, or possibly, I don't know, it looks more like a male face, and it's staring up at the shark, and it kind of blends in with the coral, but it's a little bit lighter, and they have it circled in the picture so you can see it. So you guys go take a look at this and let me know what you think. I think it's kind of a creepy picture, but at the same time, it would not surprise me one bit to find out that it was photoshopped.
Are you looking for a new podcast to listen to? One that covers all topics of the entertainment industry? Look no further than Doomcast. Doomcast covers a wide variety of entertainment topics, including video games, movies, television, and even other podcasts. For more information, please visit the official Doomcast website at www.doomcastonline.com.
All right, well, the next article that I wanted to talk about is, again, courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com. Thanks to you guys out there at naturalplane.blogspot.com. You guys are great. You provide a lot of interesting articles. And this one is, a woman claims to be Elvis's half-sister and says that the king is alive. Says a woman claiming to be Elvis Presley's half-sister says the music icon is indeed alive, and she successfully convinced a Memphis probate judge to reopen the estate of the late Vernon Presley, who is the king's father. It says, MyFoxMemphis.com reports Aliza A. Presley, who recently changed her name from Alice Elizabeth Tiffin, says she has DNA evidence to prove that she is his half-sister, pointing to an envelope licked and mailed to her earlier this year that was allegedly licked by Jesse Presley, an assumed name used by Elvis Presley. The envelope implies that the king did not die in 1977, according to the website. Aliza Presley claims to have additional DNA evidence to prove she is Elvis's half-sister, but UPI reported on Tuesday, a day before the judge made his decision, that Aliza Presley's mother denies she had an affair with Vernon Presley. There is no Presley connection, Florence Clark told UPI. I would be rich if there was a Presley connection. Do you think I would walk away from that? Would any girl walk away from that if they had a child by Vernon or Elvis Presley? The judge says his ruling was just to reopen the estate and did not confirm the woman's claims. Interesting. I mean, seriously, do you really truthfully think that Elvis could possibly not be dead, that he is alive somewhere? Do you think, I mean, I guess he could pull off the, well, I look like him, but I'm not really him. I'm kind of a, you know, an imposter. Look like, you know, the Elvis guys out in Vegas, you know, they look like, maybe that, I don't know. Maybe that's it. I have no idea. But anyway, if anybody knows whether or not Elvis is still alive, let us know. And again, one of my favorite sources, naturalplane.blogspot.com. Got a lot of articles from them. Actually, got two more after this one. It says that mutant human feeding fish discovered in Great Kali River in India. And there's a big old picture of it there, and it looks like a big old catfish. You can go take a look at it and let me know what you think. It's about the width. It's about as long as guys that are holding on to it. And it looks pretty big. It looks like a good sized fish. And it says a fearsome mutant fish has started killing people after feeding on human corpses. At least that's what scientists are fearing. They reckon that a huge type of catfish called a goonch may have developed a taste for human flesh in an Indian river where bodies are dumped after funerals. Locals have believed for years that a mysterious monster lurks in the water, but they think it's moved from scavenging to snatching unwary bathers, who just so happened to venture too far out into the Great Kali River, which flows along the India-Nepal border. And the extraordinary creature has been investigated by biologist Jeremy Wade for a TV documentary to be shown on 5, which I'm not sure what 5 is. Maybe it's a TV channel. I'm not really sure. He says that the locals had told him a theory that this monster has grown extra large in a diet of partially burnt corpses. It has perhaps got the taste for flesh by feasting on remains of funeral pyres. There will be a few freak individuals that grow larger than others, but if you throw in a few extra bits of food, they'll grow even bigger. And Jeremy discounted theories that crocodiles could be responsible for the carnage before turning his attention to the goonches, which is among the world's biggest freshwater fish. And there's an account here. It says he caught one, which tipped the scales at 161 pounds and was nearly 6 foot long, which is a world record weight and far bigger than any of them that have been landed before. And he said, if he got a hold of you, there'd be no getting away. An 18-year-old Nepali disappeared in the river last year, dragged down by something described as like an elongated pig, which is kind of what this thing looks like in a way. But the first victim of a goonch attack was thought to have been on a 17-year-old Nepalese boy, and he was killed in April 1988 as he pulled himself off in the river. Witnesses said he was suddenly pulled below the surface, and 3 months later, a young boy was dragged underwater as his father watched helplessly. So if any of you guys know anything about mutant killer fish, or you want to share anything about stories like that, or if you got any links to anything like this that you guys want me to share in the show, feel free to send them to me. I'm always looking for suggestions for topics and articles to talk about. Next article that I wanted to talk about again is courtesy of my favorite place, naturalplane.blogspot.com. And I guess I can't really say that it's my favorite place, but I do like it. Like I said, they got a lot of interesting articles. And this one is a Georgia politician who's accused of using voodoo against his opponent. Says George Ann Mills, a practitioner of voodoo, simply wanted to be paid for his services. The Blythewood, South Carolina priestess said she was approached in late August by Cobb County Commissioner Annette Kesting. Kesting was seeking otherworldly help, Mills said, against Democratic Woody Thompson, who defeated Kesting in the primary runoff vote for the District 4 seat representing Southwest Cobb. Now, there's a lot more to this article, so I'm just going to try and skip through it a little bit. It says, Mills has accused Kesting, a first-term commissioner, of writing $3,000 in bounced checks for her services. And it says, instead of performing a ritual for Thompson, Mills says she sacrificed a chicken and three roosters to provide protection for Kesting and her son, who Kesting said was adrift. In return for her services, she said Kesting wrote two checks totaling $3,000, which returned for insufficient funds. Kesting then sent two $1,000 money orders in payment. Mills produced a copy of the MoneyGram receipt dated August 28th. The receipt faxed to the AJC, which I'm not sure what the AJC is. It says that Kesting defeated Thompson, the two-term Republican incumbent, and Kesting's term as commissioner has been marked by unflattering financial disclosures and personal blunders. She was delinquent in paying her taxes in 2007. And it says, then in February, Kesting appeared before a Marietta church and gave an inflammatory speech in which she criticized some workers at the county government headquarters. I don't know. It's really weird. I always think things about voodoo are just crazy. So anyway, I just thought it was an interesting article. There's a whole lot more there to it. So you guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to take a look at real quick is courtesy of pbase.com. And I thought this was really interesting. Now, for those of you who don't really know much about the Bible, this is about Noah's Ark. Now, I'm sure a lot of people do. I'm sure most people know about Noah's Ark. It's something you learn as a kid, no matter where you go. You can hear it at school, hear it anywhere. But somebody has actually built a life-size working replica of it. And at least according to, it was approximately built to scale. And I'm going to read a little bit of what the caption says. It says, it was built by a Dutch contractor, and it was built approximately to scale. However, is about half the length and about a third of the width of the biblical dimensions. It was built to show the world how massive the ark was and how many animals could have housed for a long time. There have been several comments on the improbability of getting two of every animal aboard the ark. It says, take a look at this website. Basically, it gives you a website there, which is too long for me to even want to say. It says, the ark had the same capacity as about more than 500 trained boxcars. It says, remember, not all animals needed to be full grown, not every variation of the genus. Also remember that not every variant of the genus was required on board, as their variant species would be produced over the years. Anyway, it says, consider all the facts, the 1.5 million cubic feet of space on the ark, 40,000 animals, and it makes a lot more sense than the four little animal arks you see in the pictures and toys. This thing was massive and amazingly effective as a safe haven for thousands of plants and animals. And it gives you some more links here to go and take a look at them. But the pictures are pretty neat to see. I mean, they're real pictures. You can see where somebody took the pictures. But, it's even got a fake giraffe in there to show you the height. But if it's only half the width or half the length and a third the width, I mean, you line three of these things up and then double it in length, that's massive. Monstrous, because this thing's big anyway. So you guys go take a look at it and let me know what you think. I'll post a link up to it so you can see the pictures. But if anybody has any opinions on that, let me know. Personally, I think something that big, even though it is made out of wood, I mean, it would displace a lot of water, but I think it could float. But anyway, it's interesting to see. Go visit those other official ARC websites, and like I said, let me know what you think.
Always in hurt, always.
All right, well, the next thing that I wanted to talk about is courtesy of naturalplane.blogspot.com yet again. And it's a time traveler who says he found a portal under his kitchen sink. Now, the article's fairly short, so I'm going to go ahead and read through that real quick for you. It says that this is my story. It all happened on the afternoon of the 30th of August. It was a beautiful day, and I was on my way home from a job, and when I got home, I found water on the kitchen floor. Somehow, there was a leak, so I got my tools and opened up the door to the sink and got to work. When I reached in to examine the pipes, they seemed to be further than I remembered. I had crawled into the inside of the cabinet, and as I did so, I discovered that it just continued. So I kept on crawling further and further into the cabinet. In the end of the tunnel, I saw a light, and when I got there, I realized I was in the future. I meet myself as 72 years old. The year was 2042. I did a lot of tests on him to see if he was really me, and the strange thing is that he knew everything about me. Where I hid my secret stuff when I was in first grade, he knew it all. We even had the same tattoo. Although his was a little faded, he told me some of the stuff that will happen, but not so much. I promised not to tell anyone. I made this film on my mobile phone. Unfortunately, the quality is not the best, but it's what I've got. Actually, I don't care if people think I'm a liar. I know that I'm not, and I met myself in the future, and I was fine. That's all I know, but if it happened to me, it probably must be happening to someone else. Now, whenever you watch the video, you'll basically see him just talking about his experience, and you'll see the clip of the video that he took with his cell phone, and he's claiming that this guy is him in the future. And it looks a lot like him, but it could be his father, with them having two, you know, the rub-on tattoos, you know, that kids put on, or they both got the same tattoo on their arm for whatever significant reason. But it's an interesting video, to say the least, that this guy says that he found a portal under his sink. And, I mean, basically, the video that he shows, I mean, everything looks to be fine if it is in the future in 2042. Then if he's still alive in 2042, does that mean that whatever is supposed to happen in 2012 doesn't actually happen? I just thought it was really interesting that this guy found it under his kitchen sink. Why would it have been under his kitchen sink? I mean, maybe that's just it. Maybe it's these portals through time are just sporadic and appear in different places, or maybe it just so happened that he hit his head and dreamed the whole thing and took a video with his dad, and they just put on the same tattoos and, you know, took the, you know, the video. I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. You guys should go take a look at it. And if anybody's got an opinion on time travel or anything about this video, let me know. All right, well, this next one that I wanted to take a look at is courtesy of thesun.co.uk, and it's a flying saucer filmed over Turkey. And to be honest with you, it might be one of the best videos of a spacecraft, quote unquote, that I've seen. And the article says this is astonishing video footage, is claimed to be the most important images of a UFO ever filmed, and is said to even depict aliens. The shots were captured by night guard Yalcin Yalman in a compound in Turkey earlier this year. The 42-year-old and a number of residents claimed the UFOs were spotted over a four-month period between May and September near the compound in Istanbul. He said that, "I don't know what these things are. We filmed them several times and they're totally unknown to us. I was very excited when I saw them, and I want the world to know that UFOs do exist." Almost 2.5 hours of footage was filmed featuring a variety of objects ranging from incredible flying saucer-type craft to clustering orb-like lights hovering in the night sky. The clips were handed to the Sirius UFO Space Science Research Center in Turkey, who interviewed witnesses and painstakingly combed through the footage frame by frame. International UFO researcher Haktan Agdagan said, "This is amazing footage. Physical forms of UFOs and their metallic structures are clearly noticeable." And the article goes on for a little bit more, so you guys can go finish reading that. But the video itself, it's... if it is a UFO, a true alien spacecraft, it's the clearest video and the clearest footage I've ever seen in my life. But there's nothing in the way of being able to tell how far away it is, or, you know, anything as far as size scale as to, you know, there's no moon in the background, there's no clouds, there's no nothing. It's just kind of a black, you know, a black background with this object there. But it is very, very clear. It's an interesting video. I will post a link up to it so you guys can go take a look at it. If anybody's got an opinion on this video, or if they know anything more about it, let me know what you think. I'd love to hear about it.
This is the time someone has a little air. The past never dies. It only sleeps. In a solitary station on the fringe of known space, the past is beginning to stir. And when it wakes, Crescent Station will be as the belly of the beast.
You call your father, and you tell him there's something very wrong with this ship. Panic spoke up full now, and it said, "Scream for your life, bitch!" So Marissa screamed. We can't see her. We're wrong. We have to leave.
Crescent, a podcast novel by Phil Rossi. For more information, please visit www.crescentstation.net.
Some places are far darker than deep space.
Crescent is waking, my boy. Pray, sleep with the light on and one eye open. At least, until you get used to its creaks and groans.
Get this book and more free titles from PodiaBooks.com.
Now, this next video that I wanted to talk about is a video that I found on YouTube, and I thought it was a really interesting video. There's a couple of parts to it that go on talking a bit more about it, but it's a very intriguing video. I didn't know really what I was watching at first. I had to watch it a couple times to really get a good idea for it. And basically, this video is from Out There TV. And it's the video is called Out There TV Presents Dr. Jonathan Reed Alien Encounter Video Part 1. And there's a Part 2 and a Part 3, I believe. You guys go take a look at it. There's a couple of different, you know, different videos there for you to take a look at. But this one, they're talking about this guy. They're talking to him. They're basically, he's explaining that he found this object, this triangular, elongated, diamond-shaped object out in the woods, and basically found an alien there. Now, the video, it's really interesting because he walks around this craft out in the woods, and it's just hovering there. It's just sitting there. You can tell there's nothing holding it up. It's just kind of hovering there. Now, this guy that shot the video, he basically, he inflicted a wound on this alien that I won't tell you a whole lot about it. I want you guys to go watch this video because it's extremely interesting. He basically explains what happened. And more or less, this alien did something to his dog and he inflicted a wound. He hurt this alien. And supposedly his dog, this alien, turned it into his dog into a pile of ash. And you can see the alien laying there. You can see it almost blinking in ways. You can see it kind of moving around. But it's laying on its back, and it's got this kind of palish gray white skin, slits for an eye, slits for a mouth. It came in, I guess it's spacecraft was what this guy called an obelisk, and it doesn't really appear to be much bigger than like a coffin. It could be bigger than that. Maybe it's just me, you know, looking at it the wrong way. But basically, this guy he killed this alien and did some things to it to hurt it whenever he did. But anyway, you guys go take a look at this video. It's extremely interesting. I really loved it. I'll post a link to the video itself on YouTube, and I'll embed the first video onto to the site so you guys can go take a look at it. But anyway, if anybody knows anything about this as far as it being true or fake or whatever, let me know. The guy seems to believe what he did and what he experienced, but the video is really quite intriguing, especially the video of the obelisk, because he's kind of walking around it and you can see it just hovering there. It's very interesting. Guys, go take a look at it and let me know what you think. All right, well, the next couple things that I wanted to talk about are some listener emails that were sent in. This first one was sent in from Whitechapel Rose, and she says, "I was listening to your podcast and heard you mention that you were fascinated by shadow people, and I happen to have one I thought you might enjoy. And I do enjoy them. I love Shadow People stories. It's just, it's very, very interesting to me. And all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and read this for you guys. It says, it was about 3 a.m. when my two dogs woke me and my roomie up from a sound night's sleep with a bunch of barking, whining, and trying to crawl under my door. Brave watch beasts they are. My first thought as I woke was that it was a home invasion. Now, at that time, me and my roomie were both deputies. He had the good sense to get out of that nearly a decade before I did, and we had one patrol car parked in our yard. No one, meaning us well, breaks into 3 a.m. to a house with a cop car in the yard, so I was sure someone was up to no good. Well, I flung my door open, gun in hand, at the same time my roomie did. Two things struck us at this time. First was that our rooms are directly across the living room from each other, and we were going to have a plan to avoid shooting each other in the future. And second, there was something standing in the middle of the living room between us. The shadow person was male, about 5'10 or so, and a complete silhouette of a person. Not a person in dark clothes, but a black splotch in the shape of a person. Which is exactly what I've seen as far as the shadow people are concerned. It doesn't really look like a person, but it just looks like a black splotch. It's a good one. I like that. That took a minute to sink in while we were doing the whole show us your hands, get down on the floor, do it now bit. The figure turned its head to look at both of us and then turned and ran through the sliding glass door out of the back of the house. Point to be made is the door was closed and locked from the inside, and the figure did not slow down, it just went through the door. Roomie was right behind the figure. He had to stop and unlock the door before crossing the deck and vaulting the rail to the backyard. I paused to grab a flashlight and was right behind him, and neither of us saw it again. I had stayed on the porch to cover the yard on high while he raced to the edge of the trees. I was about to follow him when he turned and jogged back. When he got back to me, he looked at the door and asked me, "What the hell was I thinking to chase that thing out of the house?" Now, by the way of defense against non-believers, this started with two dogs going nuts over something. They didn't come out from under my bed the rest of the night, definitely revoking their membership in the Fierce Watch Beast Society. Their living room, yeah, it's kind of how my dogs are. You know, they're fearsome until something happens. The living room was lit by my desk lamp, which is always left on, and it was standing about 5 feet from the desk, so it was well lit. Me and my roomie saw and chased it. Hell, tried to arrest it and surprised neither of us shot at it as it ran. In the back door, it left through a sliding glass door that can only be locked from the inside, and it was definitely still locked when Rumi got to it. All in all, I can't discount this as anything else, because it was shared by both of us and the dogs. Hard to claim dream or hallucination and nothing a physical body could leave like it did. Be glad to field any explanations anyone wants to try and come up with that covers all the points. After all, a bit of healthy skepticism is a good thing, and it is. You gotta have at least a little bit of skepticism in you. Although, keep in mind, neither of us have ever heard of a shadow person at this time, seeing that the kind of thing led us to look it up in the first place. Also, we both got the impression of surprise when we confronted it. If judging it with human standards of body language we can apply, it wasn't like it didn't expect to see us, but it definitely reacted to us. Here's a thought. What if some guy in another plane of existence standing in the living room was suddenly confronted by two shadow people acting hostile and chasing him? That never occurred to me before, but is an intriguing possibility. It really is an intriguing possibility that if you think about shadow people as being someone from a different dimension. I mean, maybe you did, you know, appear to be shadow people to this person in his dimension, and he got scared and ran out of his house. Or maybe your house isn't even there, and he was just walking down the street, and he just happened to see two shadow people, you know, one in front and one behind, and he ran. I don't know. I mean, maybe it was a shadow person that was, you know, had ill intentions for being there. But it did startle your dogs, and I think that animals can see more into that than we can. Thanks for sharing that, Rose. I really do appreciate that. If anybody else has got any more experiences out there, or if anybody has anything they want to say about any of the experiences that people write into, write them to me, shoot me an email, shoot me a voicemail, something like that, and let me know. I think it was really interesting that both of you guys actually saw it at the same time. It was in between you that you saw it then. But anyway, I thought it was really interesting. Thanks for sending that in, Rose. I really do appreciate it. All right, well, the next email came from Cameron, and he says, "Hello, I'm writing this email to you in regards of episode Vigilance, which was released on the 6/12/08. It's about stories sent in by Lily Mama regarding shadow people. In her audio story, she had issues with shadow people in her sleep. I just want to clear up and say that it was not indeed shadow people. My girlfriend has had experiences very similar to what Lily Mama had, and I've heard it discussed in another podcast, as well as read up a little bit bit on it myself. It's a condition known as old hag syndrome because in the olden days it was believed that witches would put a curse on you and give you night terrors in your sleep and would sit on your chest preventing you from moving. Which I have heard that. I've heard a lot about the shadow people being an old hag syndrome. I actually remember first hearing about it on the now defunct Mysterious Universe. But hopefully one day that'll come back. But anyway, the email goes on to say, old hag syndrome occurs in the part of sleep known as REM sleep or rapid eye movement sleep. Yes, this is the part of sleep when dreams occur. During the part of your sleep, your brain will shut down all of your nervous functions, preventing you from moving at all. Somehow, the people who experience this condition are able to wake up in the middle of REM sleep and be fully aware and conscious of their surroundings. In some cases, they're even able to open their eyes, but doing so has been described as trying to move a brick wall. For people who don't understand this experience, they begin to panic and possibly see things that really aren't there. They are still almost in a dreamlike state, although they are fully awake, and basically their minds start to play tricks on them. My girlfriend in particular tried her best to describe a feeling of a dark present moving towards her and touching her. Breathing gets heavy at this point, and the victims might begin to cry a bit if they can manage to. Then is the feeling of a very strong weight on their chest. This part of the experience is basically, if I'm not mistaken, the heart kickstarting your function so you can move again. Then, just when you feel like you're about to die, it's over, and you're in full control of your body. My girlfriend said that she stayed awake days with little or no sleep, just praying that she wouldn't have to go through such an experience again, but it was recurring. I personally believe that it recurs because people make it recur. By being afraid of it and anticipating it, they bring it on themselves. I haven't heard any accounts of people who understand this syndrome and also experience it being able to put the superstition out of their minds and not feel that dark presence moving towards them or have that panic issue. But it would be interesting if someone could harness that mental control, at least during one of these situations. I understand it's a terrifying experience, but sometimes I wonder how I would react during this type of experience with what I know about it. And it's kind of scary, but I would sort of like to experience it myself just to find out. And I'm the same way. I mean, as terrifying as what it is, if you don't experience it, you don't fully understand it. I mean, I know you can try to fully understand it, but I guess you don't fully understand the experience itself until it's happened to you, or at least that's the way I see it. The email goes on to say, in another paranormal podcast I listened to, it was said that some people receive the experience of the dark presence or entity to be a spectral attack. People will normally believe what they see, but I hope that if you decide to read this email out and people can listen to it, it will bring some peace of mind and understanding to those who have experienced the old hag syndrome. Thanks again for writing that in, Cameron. I think you have a good point that it could be the old hag syndrome that Lily Mama is experiencing, but at the same time, that doesn't make it any less real. I understand that it's a physical thing that's going on to you while you're having this experience. And personally, I've experienced it, but not fully to the extent that some people have. And Lily Mama has definitely had a lot of experiences with shadow people. And personally, I believe Lily Mama whenever she says that she's experienced these types of things. But to be honest with you, it's hard for me to explain whether or not it's real. As far as whether or not it's a shadow person, I guess real is not the best word for it. It's hard for me to explain whether or not it's actually shadow people or something to do with the mind, because the mind is a very powerful thing. But at the same time, there's a lot more going on in this reality that we have than what we can understand, comprehend, or even possibly ever understand at all. So anyway, I appreciate you writing that in, Cameron. Lily Mama, if you're out there, darling, hopefully that helped you some. But anyway, that's it from Cameron, and I really do appreciate you sending that in, man. All right, well, the next email, the last email, this is actually going to be the last thing of the show, because I hope you guys enjoy this. I've saved this for last. This email came from Scott, and he says, I've worked for a linen company out of Granbury, which is actually not too far from here, and Scott actually sent in some EVPs that I'm going to play for you here in just a minute, and he does a little bit of explaining to it. I worked for a linen company out of Granbury. It's a big steakhouse in downtown Fort Worth, and I've been doing EVPs for over a year now. The story is that it's haunted, and but the only thing I've ever gotten is EVPs. And EVPs is a pretty good pretty good thing to say that it is haunted. To explain further, the one that's this marked the hay clip is by far the best one. I had to go downstairs to pick up the dirty stuff, and it's a very small room. I also listen to music as I'm working, and you will hear a child say hey, and I didn't hear that, and there's no kids downstairs. It also happened again about 4 days later, but slightly different. The next one, called Xmas, or Christmas, was done at my house 2 days before Christmas of 07. My wife and I decided to do a short investigation of our house. This is all we came up with. It's a low whisper about 3 seconds after she asked the question. I think the answer is Christmas. Somebody listen and let me know what they think about it. So if anybody else, whenever you listen to these, whenever you hear them, if you have any ideas of what they're saying or anything like that, you know, send us an email, something like that. Let me know what you think. The one that's marked no sir is amplified at the answer, so it might be a little bit loud, you guys, so be prepared for that. Again, about 3 seconds later, it's a deep voice. To me, it sounds like no sir. The one marked growl is pretty clear of what it is, and the one marked come here is a loud whisper. I'm not sure what it says, but it sounds like come here in a New York accent or something like that. I have many more from home and work. No need to overdo it. I say overdo it, man. I say send me a whole bunch of them. I'd love to hear them because I love playing EVPs. I love listening to them. But anyway, and he also says, before I go, I just wanted to see or hear from anyone who has tried real-time EVPs, as in using the Olympus recorders and headphones at the same time. I've not had a chance yet to try it in depth, but I found a cheaper way to do it. Go to Walgreens or any place that sells the Listen Up that's been advertised on TV. They're around $15. They'll do the same thing, but without recording, of course. I've tried it here at my house, and I think it works, but I haven't done any recording yet to verify that. Let anyone who is interested in that method, real-time EVPs, know about that. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play some of these EVPs, and thanks again, for Scott, so much for sending these in. So I'm going to go ahead and play this first one. This first clip is called Growl. I don't know if it sounds like a growl or if it sounds like, you know, it almost sounds like a chair moving or something. Let's listen to that one more time. Yeah, that actually does kind of sound like a growl. I'm going to take one more listen to that. It's a very interesting sound. Not sure. Anyway, I'll post these up for you guys to download and be able to listen to yourself and do some manipulation to them if you can to see what you think they are. The next one is the come here clip. So I'm going to go ahead and play this and see if we can hear the come here part. I'm going to play that one more time. Yeah, you can kind of hear the come here part. It's a little low. Very interesting. I think it almost sounds like it's coming right after what sounds to be music in the background. Very interesting. So let's move on to the next one. It's called the Hay Clip.
What's your name?
Yeah, you can hear the kid in the background. So that's very interesting. If there's no kid that was actually there and you can hear that, I'm going to take one more listen to that.
What's your name?
Wow, that's a clear EVP. If there's no kids down there, that's interesting, man. That really is. I want to listen to that one more time. I almost kind of got chill bumps on that one.
What's your name?
That's a good EVP, man. That might be one of the more clear EVPs that I've heard. This next EVP is called Christmas. Well, let's take a listen to this one.
Here, do you have a name?
Actually does sound like Christmas, unless their name is Chris something. So you never know, it could be Chris.
If there is someone here, do you have a name?
That actually really does sound like Christmas. Let's listen to that one more time.
If there is someone here, do you have a name?
That actually does sound like Christmas. That was a pretty good EVP. Now the next one is called No Sir. Let's take a listen to that one.
Did you used to live here?
Now that one's kind of hard to hear. So you have to listen very carefully.
Did you used to live here?
Now, it's right near the end, about the last 2 seconds, you can hear No Sir. So take a listen to it again.
Did you used to live here?
So very interesting, Scott. I really do appreciate you sending those in. Like I said, I'll post those up so you guys can go take a listen to them, download them yourself, throw them into your own, audio manipulation program that you use. Personally, I like Adobe Audition, but if you guys, go ahead and take them and listen to them. If you come up with anything you want to evaluate them, send them to me so I can let Scott know. But anyway, you guys, I hate to say that this is kind of the last bit of the show. I really do appreciate you guys coming out and taking a listen to the show. If you want, do it, sign the Frapper map. I'd really appreciate it. I'd love to know where people are listening from. If you want, again, give us a vote on Podcast Alley. I'd greatly appreciate it. Or give us a review on iTunes. I would love that. If any of you are having any issues with the iTunes feed at all, please let me know so I can take a look at it and get it fixed. Lily Mama was telling me that she was having issues with it, and I want to make sure that if there are any problems that we can get those fixed. If you want to shoot me an email, the email is the13skulls@gmail.com. That's THE13SKULLS@gmail.com. Or if you want to give me a phone call and leave me a voicemail, the phone numbers are 206-338-2205 or locally here in the DFW area, but not limited to the local DFW area. If anywhere you can call me, it doesn't really matter. It's 817-986-0019. If you like the music that's in the show today, it's courtesy of the IOTA PromoNet at www.iotaalliance.com. There are links there to download all of the songs that are in the show, or buy them if you'd like, or go and buy the albums. Also, right now, I want to give a shout out to Jesus H. Fish for the music you're hearing right now. It's courtesy of Lead Devil. You can find them at myspace.com/LeadDevil. That's LEDDEVIL. So anyway, I hope you guys are having a great night, day, week, weekend, whatever it is that you're listening to the show. And as usual, I will talk to you guys again on another day.